This is Summer of the Symphony on In the Moment. I'm Brendan Gagan. This series of performances by the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra airs every Monday through August 26th. For this installment, we'll hear Charles Ives' Symphony No. 2. Though Ives wrote the piece between 1897 and 1902, it wasn't premiered until 1951 by Leonard Bernstein and the New York Philharmonic Orchestra. Apparently, Ives was not in attendance for the concert. He was upset about being ostracized from the classical music world for most of his life. So he listened to the radio broadcast of it later and reportedly spat after hearing the overwhelmingly positive audience reaction his work received. Now you can hear the piece the same way Ives did back in 1951, but hopefully with less spite. And spit. The performance you'll hear was led by music director Delta David Geyer, and before the symphony, Maestro Geyer explains the way Ives incorporated American folk tunes into his work. It begins with a rendition of Camptown Races featuring baritone William Sharp.
The long tail filly and big black horse, doo da doo da. They fly the track and they both come cross, oh doo da day. The blind horse sticking in a big mud hole, doo da doo da. Can't come spot with a 10-foot pole, oh doo da day. Go and run all night, go and run all day. I bet my money on the bobtail there, somebody bet on the bay. See them finance in my league, doo da doo da. Round them race that then repeat.
You probably recognize that minstrel song, so marvelously sung by William Sharp, as Camptown Races, one of the most popular ever composed by Stephen Foster. Here's how Charles Ives uses it in his Symphony No. 2, in which Camptown Races morphs into Turkey in the Straw. For many Americans, the signature of a ripe classical musical culture is the symphony. Symphonies by Mozart, Beethoven, and Brahms have long anchored the orchestral repertoire. Americans long awaited the coming of an equally important symphony by an American. Beginning in the 1870s, many Americans American symphonies were composed, but they sounded German. Then, in the 1930s and 40s, the quest for the great American symphony went into high gear. Symphonies by composers like Aaron Copland were composed and prominently performed. Did any great American symphonies emerge? Maybe so, maybe not, but there can be no doubt that, unbeknownst to Copland, A crusty, cantankerous New Englander whose music was decades ahead of its time, Charles Ives, had already composed at least one great American symphony, tonight's Symphony No. 2. Though Ives finished it in 1909, it was premiered 42 years later, in 1951, when Leonard Bernstein led the New York Philharmonic in the first performance, which was nationally broadcast. Bernstein tried hard to lure Ives to Connecticut, from Connecticut to Carnegie Hall, but Ives stayed home. He did not even own a radio. He permitted himself to hear his second symphony for the very first time in a neighbor's kitchen. When it was over and the audience began to cheer and applaud, he got up, spat in the fireplace, and left without a word. Ives' second symphony is, as one Ives scholar famously put it, all made of tunes. There's not a single melody in the symphony that does not adapt an existing one. For the most part, the tunes are American, the hymns and songs that Ives knew, and which he reasoned could create an American symphonic tapestry. Many of the American tunes Ives uses are tunes you'll recognize. Turkey in the Straw, Columbia, Gem of the Ocean, and America the Beautiful are all easy to pick out. But other American tunes Ives uses have fallen out of circulation. So we'll ask Bill Sharp to help us remember some songs we may have forgotten. Please welcome back Bill Sharp and Paul Sanchez. Ives' Second Symphony is in five movements lasting about 35 minutes. The first movement uses a fiddle tune, Pigtown Fling. Maggie, take my magic hat and show us what this sounds like. Here's a little snippet of what Charlie Ives does with Pigtown Fling. Just a snippet, more to come. Movement 2 of Charles Ives' Second Symphony has two principal themes. The source of theme 1 happens to be a Civil War song about slavery, Wake Nicodemus.
The good time coming.
is almost here. It was long, long, long on the way. Now, run and tell Elijah to hurry up, pump, and meet me at the gum tree down in the swamp to wake Nicodemus today.
Our next tune for a transitional passage is one of Ives' favorite hymns, Bringing in the Sheaves. This second movement uses a ridiculous college song I'm sure none of you have ever heard before. Where, oh, where are the verdant freshmen? We've already heard how Ives' final movement adapts Stephen Foster's Camptown Races, but this raucous finale also conveys serious undertones. We know from Ives' letters that he linked his Second Symphony to the, quote, fret and storm and stress for liberty of the Civil War, where the marches and the dances of his finale give way to a plaintive horn theme. He evokes another Stephen Foster song, Old Black Joe, to express sadness for the slaves. Ives' compassion for Black Americans is a theme of his life and work. His forebears were abolitionists. That he should resort to the music of Stephen Foster may surprise us, since we associate Foster with songs sung by white entertainers in blackface. But scholars today agree that Foster was himself a compassionate witness to the plight of Black Americans.
Gone are my friends from the cotton field.
beautifully, this becomes a song for the solo horn. But Bill, we can't let you go without hearing something of Ives himself. One of the great Ives songs, of which Bill is a master interpreter, here's Circus Band. Charles Ives' Second Symphony is a handiwork of a cocky subversive, a master practitioner of the inside job. We will now hear an American masterpiece, music as American, as steeped in everyday American speech as Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn. On a personal note, my take on the experience of Charles Ives' music is something like listening through a kaleidoscope. Wrap your head around that, but you'll see what I mean. And by the way, the last note, it's supposed to sound that way.
The South Dakota Symphony Orchestra performing Charles Ives Symphony No. 2. This performance took place November 17, 2018, in Mary W. Somerville Hall at the Washington Pavilion in Sioux Falls. Music director Delta David Geyer led the orchestra, and the vocalist you heard was baritone William Sharp. This performance was a part of the Music Unwound American Roots concert series and was recorded by Earsay. I'm Brendan Gakin. Thanks for listening to this edition of Summer with the Symphony. Tune in again next week to hear Mozart's 40th Symphony.